Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, or I should say 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, and it replays on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can also hear this show on IPM Nation every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. IPM Nation broadcasts out of Concord. This radio station broadcasts out of Monticello, Maine, in beautiful Arista County. You could also watch or listen to the show on our Podomatic account, podomatic.com, and put in Camp Constitution Radio. And on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And this show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. And this year's camp will be in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, Western Massachusetts, from August 5th to the 11th. And we have a great lineup of guest instructors, including Lord Christopher Monckton, Mrs. Chris Ann Hall. We have Pastor William Levy, formerly of the Sudan, who was a man tortured for his faith, tortured by the Sudanese Muslims as a teenager, and many other great instructors. And with that, I want to welcome our guest, Annie Cyrus. Annie, you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
Well, I'm glad. I got a chance to hear you speak just a few days ago in Lexington, Massachusetts, and was extremely impressed. So I'll just let you introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Sure. As you said, my name is Annie Cyrus. I was born and raised in the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm a former child bride, and after making my way to America legally, I started to advocate for women and children under Sharia, specifically in the Middle East, until things started coming here to America and the West as well. So now what I do is I generally talk about Sharia and Islamization.
Now, you were born post Shah of Iran. You were born in what, the early 80s?
Yes.
So your country was already, the Ayatollah Khomeini was the leader of that country, and he installed Sharia law, among other things. But prior to that, it was very Western in its attitude. Is that correct?
Very correct, yes. It was before the revolution, which was 1979, actually Iran was on top of the list of allies to America.
I remember it well, because at that time I was in the U.S. Army, the 101st Airborne Division, stationed in Kentucky. And during the hostage crisis, they had taken over the embassy. Allegedly, it was over the fact that the Shah had been coming to the United States for treatment. Actually, I think he came to Boston. He was suffering from cancer and died several months after that. They seized the embassy, and for almost, I guess it was over a year, they held at least over 50 hostages.
It was actually exactly 444 days.
Yes, it's amazing, too. I think the minute Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, they let him go. They let the hostages go, and thankfully nobody was killed. But that's the kind of folks, and it's interesting, too, that it was Jimmy Carter, President Carter, who did his utmost to undermine the Shah. A lot of Americans don't realize that. The Shah, he was there since the early 50s. Some suggest that the CIA propped him up, but regardless of that, he was an ally of the United States. He was no enemy. I believe he was a man of the Muslim faith, probably more secular, and so Christians and Jews were not persecuted in that country. The same thing with countries like Syria, even though it's led by a Muslim, it's a moderate, and there's actually a Syrian church right next door to me, and I get a chance to meet some of those folks, and they said that the Assad protects the 10% or so Christian population, where the various militant Muslims are just the opposite. So you told a little bit about your story. It sounds incredible for a Westerner, especially somebody in the United States. You were a bride at the age of 9.
No, I was a bride close to 14. I was by the law of the country, which is Sharia or Islamic law, I was counted or considered a full adult woman by age 9, but I wasn't married off until I was close to my 14.
And you were so basically there was a barter agreement.
Correct. So yes, I was sold to marriage.
And how long did you live under those conditions?
About a year and a couple of months.
So you were 15 and a half, and you were able to escape from that that unfortunate arrangement.
Correct. I was able to escape from country because there is no escaping from that arrangement. Your only way out is to actually leave the country altogether.
Leave the country. And what was the first country? Did you come right to the United States, or did you make your way
no.
to various countries?
No, I was smuggled out to Turkey. That's where I became a refugee under United Nations seeking asylum. And then from there, when all the steps were taken and I had my approval, I came to America.
Now, you're basically going around the country warning the American people about Sharia law in the United States. I would say 10, 15 years ago, the average American would have just sort of shrugged their shoulders or laughed at the idea that the Muslims or the Islamic fakers had that much influence. Can you explain to me why should Americans, people in the United States, be concerned about this?
Well, if I was about to give you a simple answer, it's in Islam, the day of peace is promised to Muslims. The day every breathing human is Mohammedan, which is a Muslim. So basically, for them to reach their day of peace, they have no choice but to either convert all or kill those who are not willing to convert. That would be the main reason for anyone, not just American, anyone who's not a Muslim, to be concerned, because Islamization will hit them sooner or later.
And when we look at Western Europe, and the problem is a whole lot worse there. We see countries. Have you traveled to Europe at all and spoken at various European countries?
No, I have not.
No. And we see England and France and especially Germany, Sweden. I have a friend, Alex Newman, who actually has a residence in Sweden. And he told me that his town in the northern part of Sweden, it was a small rural town. And he said, I guess it's your picture perfect Swedish town. If you can think of a bucolic New England town, it's say northern Maine or New Hampshire. You think of this town, and he said it's become unlivable. He said it's been taken over by Muslims, Middle Easterners and such, and he said it is an unlivable place that used to be a nice little community. And we see, of course, all of the crime, the violence. My daughter was in England when somebody ran over a bunch of folks with a militant Muslim with a van and killed a few people. Thankfully, she wasn't in the area. So it's become a serious problem. It's really changing the culture there. In England and London has a Muslim mayor, and he sort of just shrugs his shoulders and says, well, terrorism is just the things we got to put up with. That's just the cost of doing business. Now, I can understand this sort of guilt that these Westerners are supposed to feel. I don't know if I can accept that. And they think they have some kind of moral obligation to accept all of these people into their country and these people that claim to be refugees. What can you tell me about the terrorist organizations, the ISIS, and their influence in this country?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to quickly talk about what you just said, the guilt. You see, I would understand a guilt if it came from an oppression of a country with no benefits and no possibility or ability to be a modern, better country. What we're talking about right now isn't to feel bad and guilty because America or Europe or Canada or any of these countries, people have a better life just because they're in the West. No, we have a better life because we are not controlled by Islam. All of these so-called refugees who are either coming to America, Canada, Europe, wherever they're going, there is no reason to feel bad or guilty toward them, knowing they are coming here, bringing what they're running supposedly from into our country. You see, I was an immigrant myself. I came here legally. I learned the culture and started becoming an American and have respect for the law and the land. But
no,
all
you
of
are
these
a,
new. Go ahead.
No, you just say you are a U.S. citizen, and when you became a U.S. citizen, you had to deny or swear any past allegiances to any country. I guess that was pretty easy coming from a Muslim-controlled Iran. And when you do that, your only allegiance is to the United States. Is it possible for a Muslim, a practicing Muslim, not a secular Muslim or we may call a backslidden Christian, but a backslidden Muslim, somebody from a Muslim culture, but a practicing Muslim, can a practicing Muslim actually take an oath to defend the Constitution and renounce their former allegiance to whatever country of origin they have?
No, because then they would count as a ex-Muslim, which is punishable by death under Sharia.
By death. And so, but they are allowed to lie to non-believers. Is that correct under the Quran?
Yes, they are allowed to lie under three circumstances. One would be if their life is in danger as a Muslim, they are allowed to lie. If they are defending another Muslim, or if they are helping the furthering of Islamization. Under those circumstances, a Muslim is allowed to lie, including telling you they're not even a Muslim, or they don't believe in Sharia, or they don't follow Sharia.
So as they're taking the oath, it's completely to the U.S. Constitution, it's completely consistent with their teachings that they can lie through their teeth because they're lying to non-believers, and it's not the same. It's not lying to a fellow Muslim.
Yeah, because when they're taking that oath, they're basically committing what's known as civilization jihad. You see, a lot of in the West, the word jihad is used, and everybody thinks jihad means when they come blowing up. There are four different types of jihad, and one of the most popular that has been working for the last 10 years is the civilization jihad. Immigrant to the Western countries and gradually become their friends by pretending to be moderate, and then when you're in numbers, take over, like Sweden, like Germany, like UK. This is how it all happened. They didn't come in taking each city by terrorizing people. No, they came in as moderate, poor, oppressed Muslims from the Middle East, and when they were big enough in numbers, they took over.
They took over. And do you see many Americans, U.S. people born and raised here, converting to the Muslim faith or the Islamic system?
No.
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 So they're not gaining a whole lot of ground with, I mean, there's some exceptions. Is it Linda Sansour? Sansour,
yes,
is one of the more outspoken ones.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. They are gaining power, not through convert, but through support, because they have the entire left to support them.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's the left, but there's also some elements in the conservative circle, or so-called conservative or Republican circles, that have been looking into, hey, we need to embrace these folks so we can get their vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you this question the other day when you spoke, and you answered it correctly. I just wanted to know your take, your opinion. But the American left, if you look at the American left, they support the homosexual agenda, the transsexual agenda. They support abortion. They support lots of things that the average Muslim would find repugnant. Nevertheless, they seem to go out of their way to apologize. You go past a Unitarian church, which denies Jesus Christ, the Trinity. Basically, I call them communist and homosexual social clubs with their rainbow flag and their Black Lives Matter. And they'll have things about don't hate Muslims. We love our Muslim brothers. And I would say the Muslims must think these people are self-loathing or have a death wish. I can't imagine. But nevertheless, they completely embrace them, even though they're just supposed to be opposites ideologically. And it's been my opinion, the left and the Muslims have a common enemy, and that's people like us, conservative Christian types who believe in what they stand for. And I don't know if these liberals think that somehow they're going to be able to control the Muslims. What are your thoughts on that?
I would actually rephrase what you just said. They don't have a common enemy. That would be us. They have a common target. That is us.
Okay.
Yes, we are being targeted by both Islamization and the left. And obviously, anything that goes against American values, left will use, will support anything that is. They are not, individuality doesn't exist when it comes to the left. They don't think. They don't plan. They grab the first tool that's available to demolish any American value. Anything that's anti-American is welcomed by the left. That's just the way they are. And yes,
right.
They never, none of them are educated enough to understand that you will not, when you get rid of all of us, what, you think the Muslim brother is going to come and say, okay, we're good to go, let's leave life? No. You will become the secondary target after we're out. They are not facing that. They're not understanding that. At the moment, that's not the priority to understand.
So, there's a Muslim in Congress. Was it Keith Ellison? Is that his name?
Yes.
In Michigan,
yes.
I think. Was it Michigan or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. And he'd take an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and so help him God. And he will support abortion. He will support the homosexual agenda, and that's okay to the Muslim world because he's here to undermine our country. And if you can do that, then it's all.
No, but let me ask
well
you this: he said it, but in reality, when was the last time he actually supported it in action?
Oh, you mean on his voting record? Offhand, I don't know. I'm just assuming that.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
He will say it, which is known as deceive or takia. But when it comes to doing it, he has not done it. And nobody's paying attention to that part. Nobody's saying, hey, wait, Keith Ellison, you say you're going to do this and that, but in reality, you're not. He's not going to do it. They can lie verbally, but they can't actually do it. So he's not doing it. He's not going to. His sole goal is to, starting with Minnesota, turn it Islamic and then move forward from there. And actually, he has not even tried to hide it. To be honest, you listen to 90% of his speeches. He's very clear about that. He wants Sharia. He is supporting every single Islamic groups out there.
What groups are there in the United States that are propagandizing for the Islamic State or the Muslims?
Well, the I would say biggest and the loudest one is CARE, which is pretty much part of Hamas.
What does CARE stand for? It's an acronym.
I believe it's Council of American Islamic
Relations.
Relations.
Yes.
Yes.
That's and they're the ones that have the ear of the mass media. So,
and exactly. Just, and
they're supposed to be.
And amazingly, yesterday, they went ahead and released a press release requesting for my event in Massachusetts to be denied.
Really?
And canceled.
Wow, and that's something. So they actually try to contact the owners of the...
Yes.
Well, that was...
Yes.
Well, yesterday... Oh, that was... That would have been Friday then. No, really?
Exactly.
So
and
they must fear you.
But that's exactly, here's the thing. I stand for everything that they're standing against. I'm a woman. Under Sharia, a woman should not have a voice. A woman doesn't even count as a full human. I'm a survivor. I experienced it firsthand. So when I talk about it, I didn't read a couple of books or go to university for it. I put my actual experience on the table. It would be almost impossible for them to counter that. The best way is to silence my message. And they stand there. Every time you listen to any of the CARE people speaking, they are all for America. They love our Constitution, but when it comes to it, freedom of speech shouldn't apply to people like me. It shouldn't.
Well, I look at it this way. If what you're saying is so untrue and they can be easily refuted, why would they care where you speak? They would say, well, look,
exactly.
You know, you get people who are in Western Europe, you're put in jail for certain beliefs, for certain things you say, whether, you know, true or not, or partly true. So there is a great fear. And that's not part of the Western tradition. That Western tradition is free speech. I mean, our First Amendment the idea of free speech didn't start with our founders, but we took it serious. And the idea that they're going around contacting owners, and a lot of people are afraid. I'm sure there will be some because, gee, I own a hotel, I own a restaurant, I don't want any trouble, I don't want any bombs, I don't want any bad, you know, bad relationships. I mean, to me, that would encourage me, you know, say, look, I'm going to make sure you're not going to call and try to terrorize me and bully me. I'm going, you know, if you want, you in fact, I'll give you the room for nothing. You know, I'll let you speak.
Let me exactly what you just said. Perfect sentence. When you listen to so-called Western Muslims, including suit very nice-looking care members, the first thing is Islam is religion of peace and tolerance. Well, when it comes to reality of it, there is a Middle Eastern survivor of hell here in America trying to give a message. The first people who try to stop her are the care members.
The people that allegedly embrace the traditions of our culture and freedoms and liberties and such, but they want to put a stop to you. Now, you mentioned that you had
Hold on. Let's do a very quick scenario here. Imagine if this was vice versa. Imagine if this was a Middle Eastern immigrant Muslim woman who wanted to speak somewhere and a conservative group would make calls requesting it to be denied. Just picture that for a second. Every single mainstream media would be on top of this, interviewing this poor, oppressed
You better believe it.
Woman who cannot have a voice here, and how everything is just horrible in this country. And this is where double standards start. Exactly. This is where double standards start. If this was a Muslim woman, you see, a lot of time people say, stop hate, preaching hate. Well, I'm not dividing anyone. I just talk about my life experience. The group like CARE is the one who's creating division in this country. When Muslim women are under attack or for whatever reason, they're not being treated correctly, CARE is the first group to get behind them and start lawsuits for them. If their voice is about to be silent, or Linda Sarsour is the first one to jump on the whole movement of feminism and, you know, hashtag MeToo starts all over social media. But when it comes to a non-Muslim survivor in America as an American citizen, which I should have all the rights they have, you know, who's been through hell, been put in prison, lashed, raped for years under Sharia, none of them are getting behind me. Not only that, they try to shut me down.
I have to admire your courage and your fortitude, because I'm sure a lot of women would not want to go around to rehash this horrible experience that you suffered. So it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, but also mental anguish too, to be able to say these are the things that happened to me. And so I want to just commend you for that. And do you know that there are many other women that have had your similar experiences that have come to the United States, but maybe aren't so anxious to tell the story?
Of course, there's a huge number of them, but it's not that. Basically, it's okay. If when I started doing this, I would gain support. Maybe it would be possible for them to come out and start talking about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you just said, they look around like, okay, Annie Cyrus is doing it, and look how she's being treated. She lives in a free country, but she has bounties on her head. She doesn't know when they're going to get her. So they will be very hesitant to come out and speak out, because they're going to be targeted too. And again, not just by Muslims, but by loudmouth mainstream media people who are going to either ignore you or bash you.
If we could talk a little bit about life as a woman in a Muslim culture. Now, I know that there's things called honor killings. And if, for example, a very pretty, and there are plenty of women in the Middle East that are, in my opinion, very pretty. But if they're getting unwanted or what their brothers or father might think is too much attention, they will do things to mutilate them. Does this actually happen, or is this something you know, that's just made up.
Well, here's the thing. What you're saying is true, but the circumstances are different. Basically, under Sharia, as a woman, you need to cover yourself up. The only thing allowed to be seen is your face and your hand. And the only reason for that is on Reliance of the Traveler, which is the Islamic book that is being taught to Muslims. It mentions that the first time you want to pick a wife, you look at her face and her hands, and from there you see the beauty. So based on that, it's okay to show face and hand, but you have to cover the rest of your body. And by cover, meaning loose clothes, you can't show curves, so completely so-called modest. Now, if you don't do that and Muslim men start looking at you, it's your fault and you are bringing shame to the family. So, yes, your father, your brother, your grandfather from father's side are more than welcome to either lock you at home or basically go as far as killing you to restore the dishonor to the family.
That's amazing. That's incredible. And there's been cases of that happening in the United States. Is that true?
Absolutely. We had cases where actually the girl decided to remove the hijab. We had many cases where the father killed the daughter because she was either becoming too westernized, too Americanized. She had a boyfriend. She said no to arranged marriage, you know, and they ended up dead.
Wow.
And again, Sharia it's not law, too that's... complicated for anyone to realize this isn't, because here's how it's reported. They do their best not to bring up the word, you know, honor killing. It said, you know, father killed daughter. And then years pass by until somebody finally come out and say the reason. But if anybody would just simply look into Islamic law, you'll see every single one of these honor killings in America was honor killing approved by Islam.
And in a Muslim country,
on Reliance of the Traveler, as I said, it literally says you can kill your child and face no consequences if it was in name of Allah or also restoring honor of the Muslim family. Flat out, right there. Just like that, it says it.
And that goes on. Is that every Muslim country or some of the major Muslim countries?
Well, to be honest, it's happening in America, which is not even a Muslim country. You imagine what goes on in actual Islamic countries.
Really?
In Islamic country, you can commit this and face no consequences. In America, you can commit this and you could still be arrested or put in prison or deported to your country. If they're going to do it here, imagine the commitment to their ideology. Willing to face consequences of our laws, but still make sure that their daughters are not being too westernized or far away from Allah's path.
Mm-hmm. We have 1 minute left. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested or learn more about what you do?
The best way would be to go to my website, liveuptofreedom.com. And from there are links to my YouTube channel, Facebook, social media, anywhere else they can find me from there. LiveUpToFreedom.com is the best source to find me.
And there's a schedule. There's a schedule, your speaking engagements. There's, this week you'll be in Massachusetts, but you travel around the country on a regular basis?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, so give the website out again, please.
LiveUpToFreedom.com.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for being on, and we're going to pray for you, and we just hope that more people that have suffered what you've suffered will be encouraged to come out and take a strong stand. So with that, I want to thank you for listening to Camp Constitution Radio on WBCQ The Planet, and until next week, may God richly bless you. Good night.